answers. Feel free to check for yourself.
Well, that's not cool with me. I'm a cougar.
Thank you. We're
Thank you for holding. You may continue to wait for the next available representative, or you may press 1 now to leave a message, and we will return your call shortly.
There is one call ahead of you.
Did you know that RDI Diamonds has one of the world's largest inventories of loose diamonds? Many diamond vendors say the same thing, that at RDI, we can prove it. With over 8,000 diamonds available, there's no reason to waste your time calling multiple vendors to find what you're...
RDI Diamonds in New York. This is Bob. How can I help you?
Bob. Hey, this is Mark Bishop in Cairo calling. How are you?
Good, Mark. And you?
Doing good. Look here. Do me a favor and give me a rough idea. I got a customer I'm trying to do an appraisal on, and I want a rough idea what this diamond's worth.
Sure.
It's on a 5-carat round.
Uh-huh.
Natural.
Okay.
And it's an SI1. Let me see what he told me this was. It's going to be an SI1 K color.
Let me see if I've got something similar first here. Let's see. 5-carat rounds. Otherwise, I'll just look at these.
Y'all been doing good?
Yeah. I mean, it can always be better, but it hasn't been bad.
Yeah. How long you been doing this?
40 years. 45 years, I think.
40?
Yeah.
How many years?
45.
40?
Actually. Yeah, 45, actually.
Man, you're getting old.
73 now, so yeah, I guess I am.
Wow.
I've been with RDI for 20, what did I say, probably 23 years now? 23.
Wow. That's a record.
Yeah, there's, other than the owner and his sister, there's nobody else been there that long, not even close.
are you in Rochester is where you're at?
Yeah, I'm in Rochester. I work from home 3 days a week, but I live right around the corner from the office. I'm like 5 minutes
away. Oh, yeah, and that's not a bad deal at all, not really.
Yeah, when I had prostate cancer several years ago, and when I just got out of the hospital, COVID had just started, and it was they started working people remotely, and I just never went back to the office.
Huh? Let me tell you something. This is interesting. And you got to be in your late in your 60s, 60,
I'm,
70.
I'm 73.
So you're my age, almost 70. I'll be 70 shortly.
Okay.
Let me tell you what's happening in the world of, you know, everybody. If you had prostate cancer,
yep.
I'm not sure exactly what they ended up doing with you, but you know, I have had no cancer. My is it PSA is like less than 4, so I'm in good shape.
Yeah.
Other than age is catching
yeah.
up with me. My prostate's enlarged, you know.
Yeah.
And so I have been to the doctor, and they were wanting to do the TURP, you know,
yep.
where they, isn't it TURP or TURP? I think it's TURP, where they go in and do the Roto-Rooter is what they do.
Yep.
Well, let me tell you, they've come out with a new procedure now, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you're familiar with it, but basically what they do, a radiologist does it.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that?
No,
anyway,
I
have you heard anything?
I don't have a prostate anymore. I had mine out. I just didn't
yeah,
want to deal with it
out.
Anymore. So I just listened. You know, I talked to my urologist at the time, and he started telling me options. I said, I don't care about what my options are. What would you do if you were me? And he still gave me options, and I said, no, you're missing the point. You're the expert. I want to know what you would do if you were me. He says, well, I'd have it out. And I says,
yeah.
well, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Take it out. I'm good. Just if you want to know something about diamonds, then you talk to me, and I'll tell you what to do. But if you want, when it comes to my prostate, you're the pro. I'll do what you said. So, yeah, no, it's worked out good.
Well,
what's this new technique?
I'm going to Jacksonville and right after the first of the year. They wanted to schedule it before then, and
right.
it's not like it's critical with me because it's nothing to do with the cancer part of it. It's just that when I get up about 5 or 6 times a night, and
that's
and plus it's slow you know, and
yeah.
And then with the procedure, what they do, a radiologist comes in and goes in your arm, and he goes down into your prostate.
Yeah.
And then he injects that prostate with these real fine beads, and they're not radioactive. They're just real fine beads. And what that does, that shuts down some of that blood flow to that prostate. Doesn't hurt it, just shuts it down some, and it shrinks the prostate. And so it's just the newest type surgery that they're doing, and it's like a, 5 hours. They have to go in both arms, down to the prostate on both sides.
Sure.
And then it's, you get right out, you go home, and there's no catheter and no none of this stuff that, you're having to deal
and
with
this
blood.
This is a tested process at their Catholic.
Yes, they're doing. A lot of places, they probably do it in Rochester now.
Yeah, we got a couple of really, well, the main hospital here is Strong Memorial Hospital. It's a teaching hospital that, if there's something new, they probably have it there.
But anyway, this is sort of a new thing that they've done.
Huh.
And it's, I'm very, my urologist, typical, he's a urologist, and he wants to do this procedure well, and I'm not being ugly, but that's not going to be a money maker for him if we do the radiologist,
Yeah.
And I think eventually that you'll hear more and more about it,
Yeah. I would just if I were you, I'd just get a second opinion just to be sure, because, my wife had both hips and both knees replaced, and the person that she sees is a pro at it.
Yeah.
But she...
Look at this thing sometime when you're just killing time.
What's
it called? PAE. It's called PAE procedure. PAE. Prostate artery embolation, I guess is how that's pronounced.
I'll look it up. I'll check into it.
But anyway, it's supposed to be the latest thing, and it's been...
Yeah.
They've been doing it now for years, but, a lot of the hospitals... You got to be pretty good with a radiologist to do this, and I would not do it around Tallahassee, or I'm going to Jacksonville.
Yeah, go to the best place to get it done.
Yeah, that guy, it's sort of like at Mayo.
Yeah.
They told my doctor here in Cairo. They said, "Well, really, the guy at Baptist Hospital in Jacksonville does a lot more than we do," so. He suggested, and I was having issues with my, of all things, I have a Medicare supplement and with United, and they wouldn't take it at Mayo, but they will take it at Baptist. So
that's
anyway, that's how we got at Baptist. But I'm gonna have it after the first of the year.
Yeah, I would just do a little bit more research on it. You want to go to the place that does it a lot, like I was starting to say with my wife. The procedure that the doctor that she uses is a very, very big procedure. He's done a million of them, and he's really good at those. But there's newer, better ways of doing it that are less invasive and better recovery time and everything. But he won't even touch that stuff. So, you got to find out, the people that you're dealing with, are they state-of-the-art? Are they doing the latest thing? Or are they experts in that? And that would be my only suggestion.
Yeah.
The time, with the prostate, I could have gone for radiation treatment, or I could have done this, that, or the other thing. And, at my age, at the time I was, 69, something like that. And, and they said it can interfere with your sex life. I don't know about you, but my sex life ain't much there anyway, so I didn't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of, he says, listen, if we do it this way, you'll never have an issue. My PSA since I've had it done have been in the area of zero. That is within, it's like a 0.04 or something like that every once in a while, which is within the margin of error on the thing. So, it's all been good since then. I had him go through my artery in my wrist when I had the heart attack, and that was crazy. But that was like 9 years ago. Yeah, put two stents in my heart.
That's what they did with me. They did mine through the wrist, and I had two stents put in.
Yeah, but it's fun getting old.
But what I was going to tell you, let me tell you this about my friend. He had that prostate. I think he had his taken out too.
Yeah.
But what he did, he was having issues with, having to wear a diaper, and he was having issues with leakage. They went at Mayo. They took him down there, and they're the ones who did the surgery originally.
Right.
And they put a valve in, and you may be familiar with it, but it's a valve that when he goes to the bathroom, he can push the valve and open that up, and then he can close it off.
Really? Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
I haven't heard of it, I didn't have a problem with it. I think they said the same thing. I might have to wear a diaper or something for a while. So I went and bought like a 20-pack. I used one time, and then I never had a problem. I didn't even have a problem with it then, and I wound up having him in a closet for like 5 years, and I just gave away to somebody recently because I never had that issue. I had my prostate was enlarged too before that, and then I had traditionally I was right around 4 for a long time, and then all of a sudden it went from 4 to like 7. And that's when they wanted to do a biopsy. And when they did the biopsy, they found cancer out of the 12 biopsies. They found in one out of the 12, but it was a decent-sized one out of the 12. So that's when they said, you need to treat it. You can't just let it go. And
most men, they say that most men will get prostate cancer, and then but they don't die of it. They die of something else before they...
Right. It depends on what it is, and with this thing, finding a cancer in one out of the 12 biopsies meant it had to be treated. I couldn't just let it go because it would have spread too quickly. So when you get a prostate cancer and it's less aggressive and it's only in one out of 12 or something like that, it probably would have been more optional for me to do other things. But I just said, fuck that, I'm not gonna screw around with this. I'd rather coming back and go for for treatments and stuff. That's not my style. I'd rather just get it done and get it out of the way. And I don't regret it at all. Yep. I've been fine since, and heart attack, cancer, what the hell? Mark,
well,
I didn't have anything like it. I did some research on, in today's market with what's going on. I checked RAP. I would tell you that diamond, if I had it and I was probably trying to sell it to you, you'd be in the 60,000 range for that diamond.
Oh, it has gone up then some.
It's gone up some, yeah.
Even K-Color.
A lot of stuff went down, but in the bigger diamonds, between probably 55 and 60 is probably about where you're at. But I wouldn't do anything less than that, and I guess if I was doing a retail appraisal on it, I'd probably do the retail somewhere around.
Well, look here, I got a question for you. You've been around a long time.
Yep.
On a big old diamond like this,
if
you were going to have to, and don't get Scott, don't tell Scott I called you because he'll get excited. He'll think he's fixing to sell a big old 5-carat diamond.
Oh, yeah. I'll let him go with the appraisal information.
You can tell him you talked to me. But on that thing, if you were going to put a retail on that stone, what would you put on it? Would you put 80?
In today's market, I'd probably put around 70.
70?
Yep. That would be based on the fact that they're not real plentiful, but they're not real expensive. And if you were talking, I don't think a company like State Farm or Jewelers Mutual would balk at having to replace a diamond like that for $70,000. That would leave enough room for the jeweler to make a few bucks and for them to insure it at a correct rate. I'm very familiar with what the insurance companies do, so it's
He's got a big old man's. It's in a man's mounting, and I think the mounting's going to be worth a good bit of money.
At today's market, you're probably
that mounting probably cost me $3,000, $2,500.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I think I'm going to put about $75,000 with the mounting.
That sounds pretty fair. And I think he won't have any trouble having to replace it or getting them to pay on that claim if it was lost. I don't think there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have any issues with anybody. I don't think.
Yeah, I think so too. This guy calls me. You know the craziest thing. Mark Bishop's been around a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, talking about RDI. I don't know how long I've been doing business with RDI, but you know, I don't even. And Scott knows me well enough that.
Oh yeah.
I don't even. I don't give these people.
He talks about you a lot. I know you. I've talked with you before, and you know, we've always had conversations. You know, when I tell him, I talk to Mark, and he'll say, oh yeah, no, he's a great guy. You know, he's always got something nice to say about you.
And you know, hey, the way I look at RDI, Lenny's been a great guy. I can't complain with Lenny. Once in a while, I'm running just a tad behind with RDI right now, but
it happens to everybody.
It's like I can tell Lenny what I'm going to do, and he knows I'm going to do it.
Well, that's
and just like
that's
I told him. Hey, he sent me a text last week, and he says, I mean, he just sent me a statement, and that's all he did was send me a statement. And I sent him a text back. I said, I'm working on you. I says I'll have about 14,000 of that by Friday of next week, which I've got my money. Probably in the morning sometime I'll actually forward that money on to him.
Sure.
Because Karen's got to make a deposit and all that too. But, you know, you tell people what you're going to do and you do it. You don't have a problem with it. And Lenny has known me all these years. But it's sort of like
That's the only gripe that Lenny ever has with people, when they tell him one thing and do something else. Everybody understands.
I would never do that. I tell them I'm going to do something,
You're part of the minority. A lot of the people will tell you one thing. Listen, you know, Scott's a seasoned veteran. He knows who you can trust and who you can't. And I'm sure that if it came down to, you needed something shipped and you were a little behind for us, he would just say, make a call to Lenny and say, this is Mark. You know we're going to get paid. And it would be clear enough. Because you're going to
get paid. Well, let me tell you something.
That's an honorable thing.
You pay your bills most of the time, I do, and I'm talking about I do pay them, no doubt. But I may not be exactly on time like I should, but it's pretty darn close. But, you know, it's sort of like the guy, and I can't think of his name, but your sister company, whatever that company is, that has these vintage rings and that. I can't think of his name, but anyway,
MDJ
called him one day. I've never done anything with him at all.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, look, I said, I'm looking at some rings online, and I told him what I was looking at. And he says, well, there's a credit application in that upper corner. Says, fill it out and get it back to me, and I'll get some of these out to you.
Yeah.
And I made the comment. He didn't know me from Adam. I said, well, I said, you know Lenny with RDI? And he laughed. He said, yeah, I know Lenny. And I said, well, just ask Lenny about me. You know, anyway, I sort of dropped it, I was going to fill out the application. Before I knew what was happening, he was sending, you know, I got a FedEx thing he's fixing to send to me.
Yeah.
So I knew he was sending the rings. And Karen says to me, she says, Mark, you might want to look at this. And so I pulled it up, and he's sending me like $125,000 worth of rings. And I said, right away I called him. I said, look, don't send me those rings. Because my insurance is not going to cover that going back, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what he says? Don't worry about it. He says, I'm going to pick them up for you. So, believe it or not, he sent them in here, and I picked out, I bought a couple of the rings, and he picked them back up, and we were good to go. I'm sure he called Lenny, and Lenny said, well, you just let him have whatever he needs, and he was
the
stuff he had, you know.
The paperwork there. If you have credit with RDI, you automatically get credit with MDJ. But because it's not the same company, they have to have their own documentation in the system. The paperwork is part of them getting the account set up on their books. It's got nothing to do with the credit. When you have good credit with us, which, you know, you do with, you know, between Lenny and Scott and everybody else here that knows you, you're golden with us, and so you're golden with MDJ too. But they do need their paperwork because they're not the same company.
Really?
We're a separate company.
Y'all a great bunch. When you go retire, you never will.
That's funny. I just met with one of my coworkers. We went for breakfast this morning, and I said, you know, I think, you know, I sell a couple $1 million worth of stuff a year sitting at my ass in my house talking to a friend on the phone like this. And I says, I'm going to do this as long as I can. I don't really care. What am I going to do with myself? If I'm not doing this, all I'm going to do is drive my wife crazy. So
is she working or is she retired?
No, she's long been retired, you know, and she's, but yeah, she's at the other end of the house. I'm at my office on the far end of the house, and I'm just, and literally, I describe my job as I work about 20 hours a week talking to a bunch of friends around the country, and people pay me stupid money to do it. So why not? I'm going to continue to do this as long as I can.
Well, you know, like I say, I don't even look at another diamond company. I you know, people call me all the time, want me to buy their diamonds, and I'll say, I'll keep you in mind next time, and I never even, you know, because RDI has been so good
loyalty
to me, you know, and you know, they're a good bunch of people, and whatever I need, I needed this 5-carat diamond, Scott's going to get it out to me, you know. So,
we'll find one. We'll find what you're looking for,
you know,
no doubt about it.
And really, y'all do. I mean, you'd be amazed
always
how many times he'll run down what I need, you know.
Yep.
So not a bad – you know, the only thing I hate about it, I hate that the labs have created a problem with –
Yeah, really.
Scott, I was doing a ton of business with Scott with naturals, and
yeah,
and now the darn labs are eating that up, you know.
That's
so,
right. We haven't been able to increase the number of occasions people buy diamonds for, so we're just losing market share to these lab grows. It's an awful thing.
Well, I think what the problem is, you know, a lot of times, you know, the younger people, they're not like us older people. You know,
right,
the older people want the naturals, and the younger people want the labs.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's what I found out.
Well, the problem.
Yeah, it's a different world.
Well, they live in a world where all their friends have bought these lab grown, so you can't come home with a half carat on your finger when all our friends are wearing 2 and 3 carat diamonds. You can't. And so you're kind of stuck in that world. But, you know, where we're selling a lot of these labs or naturals are to people who are second time around, upgrading, or people who never married before but are older, you know, and they want something that have some permanency to it. These lamb grows, no matter
right
what you
there
pay for them, it's too much. I mean, they literally cost them like $20 to make one. So how much value can you put on them? You know, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors early on about how difficult they were to make and everything. It was all bullshit right from the beginning. Once you got the machine, they produced trays full of them at a time.
Well, you know, hey, let me tell you something. Me and Joel, my guy, my right-hand guy in Donaldsonville, we went to Stuller. You've heard of Stuller before.
Yeah, I think so.
They have Stuller workshops out there for jewelers. So we go down and we spend about 3 days going through their workshop and our workshops. And they got all this latest equipment. They got everything. And they got lab diamonds all of a sudden have come on the scene. This was about 6 years ago.
Yep.
And I looked at Joel. A 1-carat lab then was costing $3,500.
Yep.
And the natural, just like it was $4,500. I said,
20%.
You know, I wouldn't spend, I mean, I would definitely buy the natural $1,000 more. And then I looked at Joel and I said, Joel, I bet you these prices on these diamonds are going to drop like hotcakes. And sure enough, look at them now. You could buy 2-3 carat for $1,000.
Oh, you can buy a 2-carat now for $400.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so
I mean, if you look
that
around
at them,
you can find them cheaper than that. It's crazy.
Yes.
I go back to the 60s when I was 16 years old. I was working for a store that sold camera equipment and electronics. And I was around when...
Is that in Rochester?
Yep, in Rochester. I was working for a discount department store called Arlen's. And we had a lease department in there. We had a costume jewelry. We had tobacco. We had cameras and small appliances and electronics. It was a lease department in front of the store. That's where I started working when I was 16 years old. By the time I was 18 years old, they had just introduced the first calculators, and they were about the size of a sheet of writing paper, and they had four functions on them. Four functions. Now, at that time, I was working part-time, making $1.35 an hour.
Wow.
Those things we were selling for $99. Four functions.
Wow.
Big things that was it. They cost us $50. We were selling them for $99, which was great. And we were selling a bunch of them. Within 6 months, those things dropped. They were the size of a little bigger than a credit card, and they had like 20 functions on them, and they cost us 50 cents because the technology became, you know, out there, and everybody started making them. They make them in China and Korea and all these other countries over there. And those ones that were like $50 cost, $100 retail, now we're selling for $2 and $3. And it was crazy. And I said the same thing. When those lab came out, I said, this is a man-made product with no real material cost. It's the technology. And as soon as the technology is out there and people can produce them cheaper, and I wanted my company, RDI, not to have anything to do with them, which we avoided for a while, and they dropped like a rock, and now they're next to nothing, like going from $50 to 50 cents, like that. It's almost exactly the same prepared.
But, you know, I don't know what the answer is on that, because, you know, the darn people are, you know, they're buying these darn labs. I mean, I'm selling now. At one time, I sold 9 out of 10 were naturals. Now I'm selling just the reverse. It's like 9 out of 10s are in labs. And you know, that's a killer on what you're making.
There's
because,
a
$7,500 one-carat diamond ring has gone to $2,500,
$3,000. Yeah. So, people brag about the percentages for a long time, but there's no dollar volume. You can't pay your bills with percentages. It's dollars. Unfortunately, I think the market, if the industry was smart, they would promote the idea of a legacy of a diamond, of a natural diamond, as in not to the point where you disparage lab growns, because the natural place for the lab growns is in finished goods, which would be earrings, tennis bracelets, tennis necklaces, and things like that. Promote that.
And I agree with that. Yeah.
But because there's no emotional connection to that. There's no legacy connection to that. It's just a piece of fashion. And that's fine. And that if they focus their attention on that, because people are going to look at it and say sour grapes if you push just natural diamonds alone. But give it its place. Put it in its place. But keep the idea of using a natural diamond for your engagement ring, because it's a symbol of your commitment, and that it's rare and it's precious, and it's something you can leave to the next generation or the second generation after that. That, I think, should be their focus. Who knows what they're going to do? At 73 years old, I really don't care anymore. I can't change the industry, and so it'll have whatever happens, happens.
Well, I keep telling Scott, I don't know how much longer we will work. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, it's sad that most jewelers, most of your older jewelers, they love what they do, but they can't work forever. You know, and I don't know. I will be here probably another 5 or 6 years, I'm guessing.
Sure.
But, you know, my problem is Joel, you know, he's my right-hand guy, and he can make any piece of jewelry. And Mark Bishop has been I was on the jewelry bench for 25 years, so I'm a pretty damn good jeweler. Mm-hmm. But I was a watch guy. You know, I was trained as a watchmaker and a jeweler. And so the last 25 years since my dad died, I'm sitting on the watch bench, you know, and I don't want to get on the jewelry bench again.
I
have two jewelers, Joel and Betsy. Betsy's the only size and rings over there in Donaldsonville, you know, for me.
Uh-huh.
And you know, they're both wrapped slap up, and I'm wrapped up, you know, trying to put together the designs that I want done, you know, the rings, and then I usually get I get three different companies to do my casting, you know.
Sure.
Stuller does them, Overnight does them, and Unique Settings. Those three are the ones I use, and they do a great job, you know. But and just like, you know, I'm getting smarter. I'm trying to get everything that I can semi-mount set.
Right.
You know, so Joel can just set the big diamond.
Sure.
And not have to sit there and set all those little diamonds. And just sort of, because he's 70 years old, he don't need all those headaches. So,
and it's not practical either. It's
And it's just a whole lot better. So,
you know, the way
you know,
they
I'm
do
sort of trying
today,
to look after Joel.
Yeah. The way they do it today, you're much better off buying your semi-mounts all set except for the center. They're more cost efficient. If they're doing them in this country, probably not quite as cheap, but a lot of that stuff is being, most of the stuff is being made in, third
China.
World countries. Yeah, China,
Taiwan,
wherever.
But, you know, let me tell you, that Stuller, and the problem I run into with Stuller and not so much Overnight, but Unique, they're killing it on the, you know, they're not like Chinese and overseas, because what happens, they lighten the darn product to where they're too light.
Yeah, well, that's
over there.
That's the reason it kills you guys for doing repairs. You know, that's I talk
so,
to more bench guys that just don't even want to do the work unless they sold ring itself, because they're made so crappy. You spend hours trying to fix something that should have taken you, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. And now, you know, in Stoller, we've had to call them twice this last week about two different mountings that they are just killing the weight on them. You know, I'm talking about, like, they're not lightening them at all, and they're and you say, look, you need to get this thing, you know, they're building the darn shanks, like, 6 millimeters wide for ladies and at the bottom, and, you know, you don't need that. And so you tell them, look, we got to get that shank down to a 3.5-4 millimeter at the most.
Sure.
You know, so they cut that off, and it cuts $200-$300 off, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, look, I got somebody calling me. Hey,
right.
Good talking to you.
You too. I'll talk
Take
to
care.
You.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.